Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves us. He's here to comfort us. You ever need comforting? You ever have a situation and nobody can help? Money can't help? People don't have the right advice? The Holy Spirit does. You know, Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he saw many problems. And I'm going to go there and let's look at it. It's just something to observe. In this book, Ecclesiastes, it's a book that Solomon wrote. And it has, it's like a man in a worldly perspective looking at this life, trying to figure it out. Because Solomon, he wrote Proverbs when he had a relationship with the Lord. But when he listened to his witchy wives and got off track, he was living estranged from the Lord. And then I believe that he came back to God. And he wrote about what he saw from a worldly perspective. It's just like Proverbs, but it's another view of it, see. And he was so wise, God gave him wisdom. He was wise, but he wasn't obedient. So guess what? If you become wise and you remain obedient, you'll always be in a relationship with the Lord. But when he stopped being obedient to God, he still had his wisdom. And see, that's why no matter what you have going for you, if you agree with your enemy somewhere, you can still be undone. But let's look at verse chapter 4. He saw something and I want to point out. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse 1, he says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun." Now, the reason I believe that he came back to the Lord, back to fellowship with God, is because he said, "So I returned." And that statement caused me to believe that. And I don't believe this is conjecture. I really believe this. But I have to say that this is what I get from it. The Lord put things in the Word so that we can see it. And you'll develop perspectives from it. And I felt this way a long time. And the Lord didn't show me anything different. And so it appears to me that he came back. And for his sake, I hope he did. Okay, verse 1, he says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they, the victims, had no comforter." So this is a man looking at this evil situation, and there's nobody to help the victims. And the oppressors had power. They were rich because they taxed everybody. And they had an evil king. And they had an army. And they took all the weapons. And they gave people the leftovers. And oppressed them. You know, in an evil kingdom, if you had a beautiful daughter, they'd just come take your daughter. Or your wife. Or both. And there's nobody to defend you. So, when he saw this, he said, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun." All types. People that have a good business going. If a prince of the king gets jealous against him, and he'll tax him more money, or he'll take it from him. Or he'll just take him to the council. You got to serve the king. And you got to, whatever you do, you know, like I'm an auto mechanic. So I was back in the day making beautiful chariots. Oh, no, you can't have this business anymore. You're gonna be making chariots for the king's army. And whether I like it or not, I got to go serve the king. But in a free country, you can open your shop and you can go as far as you can go with it. And that's the beauty of... That's the blessing of liberty. Everybody in the world don't have liberty. only in free countries. And even with that, they have a measure of liberty. But they can choose their own destiny. I heard in Russia, they select what you're going to be. You might not want to be a mechanic, but if they think you can be a mechanic, you that's what you'll be, and you don't have a say in it. Or a teacher or whatever. You may not like your job anyway, but if the powers that be say that's what you got to do. Now, that's how it was. I don't know how it is now. And that's only what I heard. So, but look at this. So I consider all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. So there are people living their lives under miserable conditions, under oppression, and their enemies have power, but they don't. And then Solomon saw this. He said, and they were so miserable, he gave us verse 2. He said, wherefore, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yeah, and then he said this, verse 3. Gets even worse. He said, yea, better is he than both they which has not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. So he figures the people that's not been born yet is better off than the people that are alive. And the people that are dead are better off than the people that's being oppressed. People that hadn't been born yet, they're better off than both. So watch this, verse 4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and a vexation of spirit. Okay, so now you break through. You're doing better and better. And you're doing what you're supposed to. And you're prospering. Now you got another problem in this world, in this realm. People, your own neighbor will be mad at you and envy you and throw rocks at you because you're doing better than he is. Now, imagine this. You're living in this miserable condition. You can't fight it. You can't run. You can't go nowhere. And if you do, you'll be caught and captured and put in prison, and you'll have a worse situation. And then they'll take your property. So, and they already want it. This is the kind of stuff Solomon is talking about. And they had no comforter. But guess what? Jesus said, when he returned, he said, I'll send another comforter. A comforter. Jesus used the word comforter. See, his disciples didn't want him to leave because he was teaching them so much. He was their master. He was their rabbi. And they followed him and learned from him. And he comforted them in many ways. I'm going to read the first part of John 14, then we're going to skip down. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. Then he inspired his disciples, his apostles and disciples. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now guess what he's talking about? When you look up and see the stars, that's the Father's house, and there are many mansions. There are many places to live. He's going to prepare a place for us. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, now let's skip on down, because he talked about the comforter. I like this part. I'm going to stop and pause at verse 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, this is any person that believes, they can do the same thing and greater works than even Jesus did, because God is going to help them. And I'm going to show you why. He said, he also gave us a blank check. He said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's first. He said, and I will pray the Father, he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You see that word forever, the comforter, the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit didn't just come to make you shout and dance and speak in tongues. The Lord he did that to show people that he was there. And it's still a sign to the believer that the Holy Spirit is there, speaking in tongues. He don't make you speak in tongues. He give you utterance and you speak in tongues. You speak in a language that you, and this is something I want to clear up. Speaking in tongues, it may look foolish, but see, everything with God is spoken. Everything of God is voice activated. So speaking in tongues has a very important role in your life. Now, when I don't know what to pray for, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. It's not crazy. When I don't know what to pray for, I pray. I'll give you an example. One day I was worshiping God and an utterance came and I began to pray in tongues. But this was different. I sensed an urgency. Hear me good, folks. Don't turn me off. I sensed an urgency, and I prayed in tongues until the urgency was gone. And I had a note of praise. I kind of started laughing. And I didn't know what that was about. But later on that day, I found out that my dad was having a diabetic attack at the very time that I was praying in tongues. And my niece was about to go out of the front door because she lived there with them in those days, Ebony did. So she decided, instead of going out of the front door, she went downstairs to go out the bottom door and say bye to my daddy. And she saw him having a diabetic attack. She ran upstairs, got some orange juice and gave it to him, and he was all right. Now, once he was all right, that would have been the time that the urgency left. See, and some people mock things that they don't understand. But God gave us a comforter. See, God, it's illegal for God to do something without a man believing him. And we don't know what to pray for, so the Holy Spirit helped me pray so that God could legally do something to help my dad. So, if you can yield to the Holy Spirit and learn, you're going to be better off. So now watch, he said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Don't forget this. Then he said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, as by the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be with his people, all of them, as many millions of us, billions of us, all of us, if possible. Anybody that receiving. It's not his will for you to be without a comforter. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. This broadcast is on there in real time, and not only this one, but every broadcast I've done since 2016, and I thank God for modern technology to help us go forward. Now listen to me. The Father, when man oppressed man, it breaks God's heart. He don't like that, but he gave us a comforter. See, the comforter will give you the wisdom to come out of all forms of trouble and rescue your children, your parents, your wife, your family. If you're living in a country where they hate Christian people, the Holy Spirit will help you he will comfort you in that situation as long as the Lord needs you to be there. And if necessary, he'll help you escape it. But you can't do it without a comforter. But God can get you out of a miserable position. And he can also send you to a miserable place and cause you to change it. And I know, and even if we get killed doing it, well, our lives will be protected until we finish our course, just like Paul. When Paul, see, the world couldn't kill him, and they wanted to, but they couldn't. The religious system wanted him dead. Some of the Gentiles that didn't want to listen probably wanted him dead, but nobody could bother him until he finished his course. Because he was here in the name of the Lord. They couldn't kill Jesus until he laid his life down, until he finished his course. He had to fulfill all the prophecies. And once he fulfilled all the prophecies that he would do as a man, then he laid his life down. Everything that was prophesied about Jesus before he died happened. The city he was born in, the city when he fled to Egypt, when he came out of it, all these things was prophesied. And all of it happened. Not one part of it was didn't go undone. Even the selection of Judas, it was prophesied that one of them would be a devil. All happened. It was prophesied that he would be betrayed by one of his own. That happened too. See, this is how you know the Savior. If you do your research, you'll know that if you study the Old Testament, everything prophesied about Jesus, what he would do when he got here, it was done. Now, Perry Stone did a superb job of showing us this. He pointed it out. I never even thought to point all that out. He pointed all of it out. All of it happened. See, he has a global ministry. He ministered to Muslims too. And sometimes Muslims, they study, they're interested and they study. See, when you say that Jesus is only a prophet, that's wrong. That's bad news. He's the Son of God. He became a man to redeem us. It was prophesied that way. David said in the Psalms, "My Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord." Who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus, because the Father enabled, the Holy Spirit enabled Mary to bear Jesus. Why did that have to happen? Because sin is transferred through the male, not the female, because the woman was the seed. And that's very important to understand. See, without an understanding, you can't grow right. You're gonna have misunderstandings. It's very important that everything be observed the way it is. Now this is 1 Timothy 2. Verse 13. Now watch very closely what I'm about to tell you. And then we're going to go back to looking at the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 2, verse 13, it says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So, because she was deceived, she made a choice thinking she wasn't being malicious. That's the point of this. When you're deceived, you think you're right, but you're just wrong. And she got secondhand information. But God had firsthand information. I mean, Adam had firsthand information. He knew that this is wrong. Don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you look at Genesis, nothing happened when Eve ate off of it. But when Adam ate it, then their eyes were open. I don't know what would have happened if Eve ate off of it and Adam didn't eat off of it. But when he ate off it, the change happened. Death began to work in both of them and their eyes was open. And they died that day. Now, they didn't die that 24-hour period day. They didn't live to be 1,000 years, because a day to God is 1,000 years. He lived to be 930. He lived 70 years shy of a day. And when the Lord showed me that, Second Peter gave us the clue that, Second Peter 3, that a day to the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day to him. A day to man is 24 hours. Actually, in the beginning, a day to man was also 1,000 years. And also, it was a 24-hour period. So Adam knew what he was talking about. So he died that day. He died one. He died a covenant day. A covenant day is 1,000 years. A covenant week is the lease of man. See, it'll be up in 6,000 years. And on the seventh day, Jesus is going to run the earth. And that's about to happen now. See, God's got this thing perfectly planned out. What he did in the restoration week is a symbol of what he's doing in the covenant week. A covenant day is 1,000 years. And the word of the Lord was true. He didn't die that on the symbol day. Every day we live is every day of the week is just a 24-hour period. But the covenant is 1,000 years. So let's look at, because they were deceived, you know, so God, the point was this. Jesus could be born through a woman and be sinless. And he entered the earth legally. He had to defeat Satan as a man. And God had a way for him to do it. The Holy Spirit fathered him. So he's God's only begotten son. How about that? Now, and Eve was his, Mary was, is his mother. And she'll always be his mother. Now let's go back to St. John again. The Holy Spirit has a great role in our lives. He's our comforter for a great reason. I wish people didn't take the Holy Spirit so lightly, because they do take him lightly. They just want to shout and praise God and do what they, and then they live out of their mind and they don't regard the Holy Spirit. Or he try to prompt them so that they can pray for the most necessary thing, and they resist the Holy Spirit. They quench the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is one of the worst things a child of God could do against his own self. If I said no, I got to go to work. I don't have time to pray right now. I didn't do that. I yielded. I didn't know what was going on, and I'm glad I did, because he gave my daddy, in those days, in the 80s, it gave him a chance to live without medical problems. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye live also. See, Jesus died for us. He went to be with the Father and be our high priest and our king. But he sent the Holy Spirit to pick up where he left off. Not only that, once you get born again, you're linked to God. I gave the analogy about the encyclopedias my grandmother bought me. Now, she bought me those encyclopedias, and it gave you a bit of information about everything on earth, you know, that children would study in school anyway. But the Holy Spirit is so much better. I can ask him anything, and he can get the answer to me. And then Jesus gave us power of attorney. He said, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. And now, Jesus, in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. See, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, verse 22, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So if you keep God's words, now God can work with you. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. He that loved me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the, now watch this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Then he said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Comforter came to guide us in all truth and knowledge. And if we yield to him, we will be functional just like Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We will be functional to God just like Jesus. And then by the course and by following the Holy Spirit, we'll do greater works than Jesus did. And I'm going to show you some in the next upcoming broadcast. But right now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.